You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Tuesday, 15 September. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb global headquarters in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, Preston Aaron Sammy will be talking markets, Bidvest results, and we've got a whole bunch of central bankers deciding on interest rates. Keith McLachlan on the Metrofile results, and in particular, will that deal, which has been kind of put on ice, ultimately happen? And Anthony Clark, we've seen maize prices, frankly, back at drought levels, the impact on our listed agri space, and what about the new look Zeta? This show is proudly sponsored by FMI, a division of Bidvest Life Limited. Make your impact, protect your income first. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not reflect the views and opinions of FMI. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb: Eskom submits supplementary tariff application to NERSA. And from CNBC, China's retail sales rise for the first time in 2020. Morning markets overnight, the US was green, S&P up 1.3%, NASDAQ up 1.9%. Asia, however, red, Sydney off 0.2% and Tokyo 0.7% down. Commodities, green across the board. Gold, $1,976 an ounce. Rand against the dollar, 16.62. And top 40 opening call, looking for a red open, but a modest 0.1% down.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Preston Aaronsamy. He's a portfolio manager, Nedbank Private Wealth. Preston, morning. Appreciate the time. Let's kick off with some Bidvest results out yesterday. Very much a SA Inc. company. My thought around the results, I mean, the market really liked them. Good, strong cash flow. My sense is in this type of environment, you know, living under lockdowns and pandemics, you know, cash really is king, and they're generating it nice and strong.
So good morning, Simon, and morning to your listeners. I caught what you said on Bidvest. Yes, just looking at the results yesterday, Simon, I think Bidvest is a real proxy for the South African economy, you know, stake in, you know, around 300 or so companies in South Africa. And I think, you know, the result just shows the on-the-ground type of pain that SA Inc. is really facing, Simon. So, yeah, they're right-sizing their business. The debt's been up considerably, 70% or so. But with that being said, the company is still, you know, they're still sitting with a lot of cash, like you mentioned. So yeah. Cash flow from operations really up nicely, good cash containment as well. And I think in this environment, management have been really well to secure quite a lot of, you know, facilities with the bank to help them navigate through this time. So I think the market, looking at that and, you know, looking at management's ability to just be a little bit proactive, you know, get some extra cash ready and, you know, if need be. And on top of that, generating a lot of cash, which, I mean, if you look at the peak of the lockdown, level 5, it's quite impressive that they managed to generate that much cash, considering that a lot of the operations, especially on the motor side, and the commercial products really, you know, wouldn't have been generating any revenue during that time, Simon.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, and debt always bothers me, but if you're a strong cash flow generation, well, you can manage that debt. Another deal announced yesterday, Harmony concludes the deal to buy the AngloGold Ashanti. Truthfully, their last SA asset, Mampenang Mine and the Mine Waste Solutions. End of an era. I mean, AngloGold Ashanti, at one point, one of the biggest gold miners in the country, still listed here, but no longer mining in our market, right? And we've lost Preston. Something not working with that line at all. The other point where I wanted to, it's sort of an end of an era. AngloGold Ashanti really exiting the South African environment, still going to be listed here, but the mines remain. Harmony takes them over in that sense. And then the other point I wanted to touch on really was around what we've got. Preston, you're back. Talk around the central banks. We've got the Fed, we've got the Bank of England, we've got the Bank of Japan. They're all having meetings. They're all going to be talking around changes to rates. My sense is none of those three are going to be changing rates this week at all. They're all at levels which surely they're comfortable with at this point. No, we've lost Preston. We'll park that there. That was Preston Aaronsamy, he's a portfolio manager, Nedbank Private Wealth. Bad lines this morning. Sorry for people.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Keith McLachlan. Hopefully we got problems with our lines this morning. We really wanted to touch here on the Metrofile results. We had asked Metrofile for an interview and they were like, not able to help. So I thought, get Keith in. Keith has it in his fund. I have it in my portfolio. Keith, a solid set of results from the company. I mean, you know, there's some moving parts there, but in essence, really working well. And I don't think really a surprise, you know, that they store documents. I mean, yes, business activity might have been down in hard lockdown, but companies are still storing, and much of this is long-term contracts with large blue-chip customers.
Definitely, Simon. So if you have a look at Metrofile's business model, and they're really quite defensive. You know, if you walk into a bank and open an account, if you go to a court and, you know, you do some sort of action, if you take out a home loan, all of these activities are generating documents, physical documents, mm-hmm. and someone has to store those. Typically, the generators of those documents doesn't. That is outsourced, and in the domestic market, Metrofile is the largest player in terms of document storage. So those boxes flow into their shelves, and they earn annuity income from them. And in this way, they're very, very cash generative, very defensive. And in a slightly perverse way, they're actually going long of, or they're benefiting from growing bureaucracy, administration, regulatory, and compliance demands.
Yeah, that's a good point, because, you know, banks and the like aren't storing these for fun. They're storing them because they have to. There's a legal requirement. And if anything, we find those legal requirements becoming, you know, truthfully, more and more onerous, which plays into the storage business.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw over this period, with a hard lockdown, their box growth was actually net 2%. Because don't forget, as you've got boxes coming into the front end, there are some boxes being destroyed on the back end mm-hmm. because, for example, they've been held for the 5 or 10 year life they've been needed to be held for. So, but the point being was net box growth of 2% over such an extreme period.
Yeah, and was it 2 years ago they had some issues with debt, which they had provisioned at sort of subsidiary level. They've moved it to group. So we're seeing debt go down again, another business with decent levels of cash flow coming through. And therefore, they're actually paying a dividend. And again, it comes to the point, in this sort of environment, you know, dividends are around confidence, and that's important to see it from management.
So Metrofile, call it 100% of its EBITDA, a little bit less, but about 100% of its EBITDA converted into cash over this period. It's sitting on a 15% free cash flow yield. But quite importantly, there's actually a delisting, or potential delisting, I should phrase it that way, hanging over the share. Now, that whole process, or that whole corporate action, has been slowed down because it's an American consortium that has been wanting to buy them. But shareholders in the background have been rewarded for waiting, and this is effectively what this dividend is. So it's far from negative. What we have now, as opposed to what we had a year ago when the deal initially came out, is we have a company that has less debt. Mm-hmm. It's rewarded shareholders with two dividends while we've been waiting for the deal to conclude. And in fact, it's been dealing with peripheral issues. You touched on the debt. That debt's been restructured, fully tax deductible. And don't forget, in the next coming period, interest rates are materially lower. So what is, in all likelihood, even if the deal doesn't go ahead, we have a very comfortable company that is de-gearing, de-risking, defensive, cash generative, and rewarding shareholders.
You kicked open that door on the proposed delisting. R3.30, if I recall, was the price. That was supposed to happen kind of as hard lockdown. It was sort of going to be concluded sometime around April, May. Obviously, lockdown came. And the debt's kind of been put on hold simply because, you know, management can't move around. The buyers out of the U.S., as you say, can't get into the country to do their final due diligence. My sense is, I mean, the deal hasn't been cancelled. And if anything, this business is perhaps a little bit better than it was when they made the initial offering, in the sense that the debt has reduced. So my sense is that deal's probably still going ahead. And frankly, why not at the 330 price? Or am I being, as a shareholder, overly optimistic?
So I tend to agree with your opinion. I don't think it's overly optimistic. I think that the deal is more than likely to happen. obviously has been slowed down, and hence why these dividends are quite important from a shareholder perspective, because they offset the current value of money. This is, then there's about a 40% arbitrage versus their current share price in this. But we have a company that has traded through one of the most difficult times in modern history, and it's done so profitably and cash generative. It has less debt than the deal was initially announced. And don't forget, these are American acquirers, the consortium. The rand is 10% weaker than it was. Ooh. So even if one keeps the acquisition price static in dollars, it's actually become a little bit cheaper, even though the company's become a little bit better. And then the final thing to touch on is the best listed comparative is actually out of the States. It's a company called Iron Mountain that does document storage over there and has some global operations. And in fact, its share price has more or less recovered to pre-pandemic levels. So the relative valuations in the listed market don't indicate that this part of the market is under pressure. So absolutely, I would be surprised if that deal price came down.
Quickly, while I've got you on, I don't know if you had a look at the Afrocentric results. I know it's a stock you've held in the past. My quick look at those Afrocentric, a really solid set of numbers from a small little stock, which I think most people probably haven't really looked at before.
Yes, so Afrocentric's major subsidiary is Medscheme, which obviously administers Bonitas, Fed Health, that are the second and third largest open schemes in South Africa. So high barrier to entry industry, return to scale are very important. These guys are the biggest or the second biggest, depending on how you measure them relative to, for example, Discovery. Mm-hmm. But this has been a healthcare crisis. Never forget that. The last thing people are going to be canceling in this period is their medical aid. So what we've actually seen is we've seen very robust beneficiaries coming out of those. And obviously you charge on a beneficiary basis in terms of administering those schemes. In the background, they've also built up a value add or supply chain around those schemes. For example, pharmaceutical, and in fact, pharmaceutical logistics, where they can drop off chronic medicines at your door. And those parts of the business are firing really, really well in this period. So great set of results from a great little business.
We'll leave that there. Keith McLachlan, fund manager at Alpha Asset Management. Appreciate your time this morning. When you protect your monthly income against the risk of injury, illness and death, you protect your future and the impact you make on those around you. FMI has been protecting South Africans' income for over 25 years, constantly innovating to provide greater claim certainty and cover for more occupations than ever before. Make your impact, protect your income first. FMI, life done better. FMI, a division of Bidvest Life, is a licensed life insurer and authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Trading now with Anthony Clark. He's a small cap analyst. I want to dig into what's happening with the maize price. I mean, we spoke to Wandile Shilobo a couple of months ago around it, but I want the impact into industry and what's happening there. Anthony, morning, appreciate your time. Looking at white maize, looking at yellow maize, these prices are almost back at drought levels when, you know, from a couple of years ago when, you know, it made sense back then. Do we have an idea of what's driving these prices?
Yeah, good morning, Simon. Listen, if you looked at the charts for the prices, we are up between 30% for yellow maize and 40% for white maize since the beginning of the year. And there's been an acceleration from the June period. So basically, for a large input user, like an RCL Foods, an Astral Foods, or even a Pioneer Foods, you've got substantial cost increases hitting your books, which in this environment it is pretty much impossible to get back from a consumer, given what's going on. What's driving the prices? A combination of reasons. One, whilst the harvest this year is the second biggest on record at about 15.4 million tons, what is clearly evident as the harvest comes in is the quality of grade one white maize isn't up to the normal standard. Oh. And the rapid pace of exports we've seen in this country means that a lot of the early maize is being shipped internationally or into SADC region where harvests have been poor, leaving a shortfall in domestic markets. And you and I both know with supply and demand, if there isn't enough supply to meet demand, prices rise. And that's exactly what's happening.
It is, and as you say, it hits the like of Astral. I've spoken to Chris Skitter before. Their sweet spot for the maize is around 2,200 per ton. It's well above that. That said, trading update from Astral yesterday, they're going to be down. They're expecting HEPS maybe 15 to 25% lower. Notwithstanding the maize price, Astral remains a solid, robust, incredibly well-run business.
Absolutely. Some things went in their favor. And if you look at the poultry operations of Rainbow inside RCL, they were down 93% recently. Mm-hmm. Grainfields, which is part of the VKB combo, were down 65%. So for Astral to be down, you know, at worst 25% is an astonishing achievement in a very difficult environment. But some things played in their favor. One, many of the other check-in companies were involved with the quick service restaurants, QSR. Mm. And as you all know, that sector was closed. So they had to dump production into the retail market. Astral doesn't really play in that segment, so all of its production was going towards the consumer. And the consumer was still spending because it was government support, government grants, et cetera, et cetera. The other key thing that aided them was their efficiencies. They've got a very good genetics in the Ross 308, and they have very good feed conversion ratios where they actually feed the bird less to get a bigger bird to kill it earlier, to be simplistic. And that was the key negative in Rainbow's numbers. Their genetics, the cob bird, quite frankly, didn't stand up to muster. So all in all, a fantastic result from the company. But the market, saying that, is looking at the underlying economy, looking at the soft commodity prices, and marked the stock down 2.4% yesterday to 138 Rand. So good result, but the market still remains skeptical about the underlying state of the economy.
Yeah, and you make a great point there. Chicken farming is science. It's not just me and you having a couple of chickens in the garden. Let's quickly look at Zeta, announced last week, CEO exiting, new strategy. They've got rid of their Pioneer. That was obviously bought by PepsiCo. They sold their Quantum shares, got a nice cash pile for that. Now they're looking for a new Zeta. And I got to say, the idea of a sort of dedicated agricultural support company really intrigues me on the JSE.
Listen, I think Zeta, as I've written many times in the last 12 months, as I'm sure you've read, is a potentially company past its best. With Pioneer gone, what is basically left is a collection of predominantly unlisted assets, mm-hmm. of which some are not exactly great quality. The only listed JSE asset is Carb Agri, and that is basically 70% of its high, trading at about 20 Rand, and its peak it was 65 Rand. What do I see with Zeta going forward? As I've written, complete dismemberment. I think some of the assets are clearly M&A targets in Capespan and the logistics company. I think Carb Agri might be unbundled. The really interesting asset inside Zeta is Zard, which is their seeds business, yeah. which announced a joint venture with Limassa, the European company, yesterday. I think PSG will keep that and maximize value inside PSG Alpha. There's 1.1 billion Rand of cash, which is about 62 cents a share. And they've taken down their sum of the parts valuation, but I run my own metrics here. As it stands right now, with Zeta trading at about 2.45 Rand, the discount is about 34% to the sum of the parts, and if you strip out cash, at about 41%. So there is plenty of juice to be extracted from Zeta should Pitt McConnell and his slimline PSG team decide to dismember the farm and sell up the pieces to maximize value for itself and, of course, shareholders.
Yeah, and that would be disappointing. Zeta's been a weird beast, and I like the idea, but maybe you're right. I see what your point. Maybe actually just break it up and pay that discount to net asset value back to shareholders. Anthony Clark, small cap analyst, always, sir, appreciate your time. That's it for today. You'll find us live every weekday morning, 6:30 a.m. on the MoneyWeb website or the MoneyWeb app. Podcast from 7 a.m. Again, website, app, or wherever you get your quality morning podcasts from. Chat to us on the social media, hashtag MoneyWebNow. This show was proudly sponsored by FMI, a division of Bidvest Life Limited. Make your impact. Protect your income first. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not reflect the views and opinions of FMI. Massive thanks to my team, Eddie and Cordora, to you for your listening time this morning, my guests for their contribution time this morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.